actually my first time in this building since you guys moved here. I know that there's a difference in our locations. I know that there's a difference in some of our congregation and how it's established. We do some things different here than we do at Oasis, but we're one church family. Amen? We're one church family, and we need to all be on one accord in that. What I came to speak to you today about is the unrest that's in our, not just in our nation, but in our communities, in our homes, in the morbidity of just among people. Death seems to be a thing that people are focused on, whether we're thinking about it all the time because it's in the news or because someone has committed a crime. It seems that it's a big focus. The unrest is just, it's unsettling. And through that, we begin to have a fear. I'm here to tell you that God is not about fear. He's about faith and love. I want you to watch a clip. Do we have the clip? I want you to watch this clip for a second, and I want you to just see what you get out of it. All right?
If you ever come near my son again.
Oh, this is your son?
Oh, yours?
Did you know that?
No, me? I didn't know. No, did you?
No, of course not.
No.
Ed? Doodle.
Dad,
you've deliberately disobeyed me. Let's go home.
Our God is amazing, because even when we disobey him, just like Mufasa, he comes to save us anyway. No matter what we do and how we do it, if you're one of his, you are protected. In this clip, I look at the hyenas as instruments of Satan or the enemy. Did you see the way they squirmed? And that's what happens when God begins to work in your life, and when you're sure and you're confident of his presence and his protectiveness and just him being a father to you. We serve an awesome God, complex God, but we need to know that there's no reason for us to fear anything. Can we get the first clip? So these are just some things that we need to do to just cement ourselves in confidence and lessen our fear for what's going on. You know, all the things that we hear in the news, in the community, in people's homes, what is the reason that a mother would harm a child, or that a father would harm a child, or a husband would touch a wife, and I'm not talking touch them, I mean fatally so. What are those reasons? What is going on out in this world? Are we not doing enough as Christians to bring those people to Jesus? Or to touch a family member who, just so you know, more than news, more than any cable station, to spread any word or news is best spread confidently by word of mouth. From person to person, from friend to friend, from family member to family member. It comes most from those trusted people. But I want to tell you a little story. And it's not really a story, it's just about me. I absolutely had no intentions of staying at this church. None. No intentions of staying at this church. I came from a church where I got hurt. And I felt like I was deceived. And I felt like I worked for nothing. And I came here hurt and just scarred, really, scarred, damaged goods, without a doubt. And when I came, the love that I felt in this church, just the overwhelming, let me see, is acceptedness a word? Is that a word?
Sure.
Okay. So I felt very accepted and just, you know, I'm one of those people who are, what you see is what you get. And what people saw, they got it. It was okay. And it let me know they were truly God's people, that it was a genuine love. And in our congregation, God really shows how he crosses every age barrier, every color, every culture, every size, every height, every religious background. All of it is crossed when we step in here. And this church, Oasis as a whole, can be a shining example to the world today. We really have a chance to show how people from everywhere can really love one another genuinely without there being some tainted thoughts, I like to call them, or thoughts that have like a covering or some innuendo of being afraid of another color, race, creed, religion, study. We're a good people. So we need not fear. We need to have faith in the Father that no matter what we do, he's going to be around. Preparation with prayer. He already knows what's going to happen. He has a plan before we wake up. He has a plan before we do anything. For he knows every hair on each head of each one of us. So he already knows what the plan is. But we need to prepare by praying, by spending time with him, by cultivating that relationship with him. And I know some people say you need to pray at 6 o'clock in the morning, or you need to pray at 6 o'clock at night. No, you need to give God the time that he asks you for. That's what you need to do. You have to give him, because the truth is, all of your time truly belongs to him, because he could take it from you. So if you're in the car and you're alone, turn off that radio and get into Jesus. It could be the gospel station, but maybe he wants you to talk to him. Maybe he has something to tell you. And he speaks to us at the quietest of moments. I know it's not easy to function in this world and not be fearful, but Jesus has walked where we walked. He's been where we are. He's been tempted. And he survived. Now, while he has died for our sins, it's all by design. You must have confidence in your work, your purpose, your task that he's given you. Know that the most important thing is he's never going to give you a task and not enable you a way to complete it. He's never going to assign something to you that you're not able to do. And whether or not he gives you help with that task, you have to be open. That's part of you being open and loving to your church family, to your family, and giving people a chance. Also, when you're obedient to him, he is personally responsible. He takes personal responsibility for all your immediate needs because you're being obedient, so that you can keep your eyes on God. So you can keep your eyes on the task ahead. When I left the other church, and I talked about being scarred and just damaged goods, I had someone come to me and say, you know, may I say something to you? Like, sure, you can say whatever you like. And he said, not for nothing, but I think you need to repent. You need to ask God's forgiveness. Well, I can't tell you how I rolled my neck and my eyes and everything else. I was like, who? What do I need to repent? Why do I need to ask for forgiveness? I didn't do anything wrong. But that's not true. Because after I finished speaking to the individual, I found that I put my faith in the creature and not in the creator. And when we do that, we are looking to be hurt because man will always fail you at some point or time, but God will never fail you. So rather than the creature, depending on the creature, keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God, for we are his vessels, and he works through us. Getting understanding of the word is simply spending time with him, spending time reading and trying to understand what those words are in the Bible. Again, with this church, we have a connection. We have connection groups. If you have a question, if there's something you're struggling with, no need to make an appointment. Look it up and attend one. All you have to do is show up. If you show up, I promise you, God will show out for you. He'll show something. He'll reveal himself to you. He's not a secret God. He wants us to have salvation. Or he would pick it for us himself. But we must choose. And then once there, you need to follow through. God is a jealous God, and he wants nothing before him. No other God before him. So when I did eventually just repent, ask forgiveness. Another great thing about him is that he's a forgiving God. Thank you, Jesus. Because we know that if he wasn't, I'm sure this church would probably be empty. But he has forgiven us. He grants us a new mercy every day. For we sit here amongst one another to praise and worship him this morning. So he's a good God. Standing up for Jesus because he stood for you. Speaking out. Never be afraid to talk about Jesus. Never be afraid because he'll put the opportunity there for you at the opportune time. So stand up, speak up, show up. Show up and be dependable. He's a good God, for they strung him high and stretched him wide and pierced his hands. He died for us and our sins are washed clean because of that blood. And I can tell you, if you were waiting for me to do that, you would be sadly mistaken. Because I can tell you, if I even as a bodyguard, if I guarded, God forbid, the president, I can trust me, I'm sure at that final moment, when he ducked, so would I. I would not give my life for him. But God is good, and that he is present. And we have to know that he protects us. And that fear and faith take up the same space in our minds and hearts, and they can't live there together. You've got to pick one. So if you're going to pray, pray for peace. Ask God just to take the fear. He'll honor your request simply because he knows you want it. He wanted that you want it gone, that you no longer want to fear, that you want to step out boldly to the throne, that you want to request something, that he has your back. In military, they say that you have my six. You got me covered. Trust me, God has it all in hand. Just like in that clip. Now, prior to that, in the movie, he told him not to go in that area. He was disobedient. And he did something and just got in trouble. And the most important part of that clip is when Simba roared that little roar that the hyenas laughed at, he really thought he was doing something. He really did. And when he tried it again, he was like, oh, wow, I got a new roar. Unbeknownst to him, the Father had the covering over him. And that's what God does for us. And he's working on our behalf even when we don't know. When we are sleeping and worrying about some things, which we should not, and I know it's hard to do, but we must have a confidence in the Lord and what his abilities are. For he sits on high. He's the King of kings and Lord of all lords. There's no one above him, and no one more powerful. He has conquered the grave. What more can you say? Who has done that? Who has raised the dead? Who has healed the sick? And when we speak of being a God-fearing person, it's not the same fear that we're feeling about what's in the United States and what's going on in the communities. It's a respect and homage to God for all he's done for us and for all he's about to do for us. Because he's not finished. We're still here, so he can't be finished. I just want to say that the Lord has been present in my life for a long time, and it's a constant relationship, something that I cultivate and nurture, and I'm assuming you do the same when you pray, when you read, when you commune with others. I want to quickly go to Nehemiah. So Nehemiah was a cupbearer for a king, and he really, people thought he was a nobody because he was just a cupbearer. He just took the cup, the goblet to the king. But the king held him in high esteem, and he wondered why. He saw the king one day, and he wondered, why you look so sad? And he said, long live the king. And he says, why do you look so sad again? He says, I have on my mind the country where my fathers and my father's fathers are, and it's desolate, it's broken down, it's torn up, and I really would like to go and build that wall again, to fix the wall, to find some people to help me. King says, okay. So he gets a pass, he gets some people, he gets it done, he does these things. People come against him. People rise up against him because of him building that wall. They wanted it to have separation. They wanted to have entrances. They wanted it to be a place where they could seep through the cracks. Isn't that what Satan does? Seep through the cracks, if you have some. But because he was confident in God, first he prayed one of the shortest prayers and just said, I pray to the Lord Jesus, when the king asked him what was wrong. God honored that short, quick prayer that fast. But then he also supplied him with help when he got there. I don't think he expected it, because I don't think we always expect help when we're trying to tackle something. And it's funny because the places and the people that help come from, we never expect it. They're always unexpected people. But when those people rose up against him, he said, when I saw their fear, I rose. These are the people who were with him. They were supposed to be fighting with him. So he says, when I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for the brothers, for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and lands. But there's another man, Ezekiel. He said, do not fear them. Do not fear their words, even. Do not fear their presence. And that's how we have to be with people on the outside, with things, not people and individuals, but with the occurrences on the outside. We have to be that way. We have to have a shield. And I know you guys were looking at the Lion King and going, it's the Lion King. Well, just so you know, other than the Lion King, I love superheroes. So when I walk outside, I think to myself, Captain America, I got my shield, okay? And so as long as I think that way, God honors that because he knows that he's my shield and my Bible is my sword. And there are times when I have to fight the good fight. But I'm going to run sometimes because I know he got my battle. I know he has my back. He's going to fight my battle. And I can live to fight another day. Because when it comes to spiritual warfare, again, God's got my back. So I say to you this morning, just stand up, speak up, show up. If you do those things with prayer, God will honor it. Thank you so much.